So the question was asked, does one make a blessing over food that one must eat? For example, if one is in a dangerous situation, one is on a desert island, and all one has on that island is pork, does one make a blessing on that pork? So, that was the question. And the basic answer is that we make a blessing because in a situation where one's life is in danger, then one is permitted to eat it. Let's say one is ill, and the only way he could get cured is by eating pig. So then we say, that pig, it's a mitzvah for him to eat. That pig isn't forbidden for him. If a person is ill on Yom Kippur, and the halacha is, let's say that person, his life is going to be endangered if he doesn't eat on Yom Kippur. So then the halacha is, he must eat on Yom Kippur. Not only does he eat on Yom Kippur, he makes a blessing.
And if he's eating bread, he makes eating yavur and the
berakah. Yeah. So that's the basic halacha, that if a person is in danger and he must eat things that are ordinarily prohibited, so then he makes a blessing before eating it and after eating it. Even though if you'd ask him, do you want to eat this food? He'll say, no, I don't want to eat it. I must eat it now. I'm in a dangerous situation. If I don't eat it, I'm in danger. So, or a person's ill and he has to eat it. Still, being that he's in a situation where he must eat it, we say that when he eats it, he'll enjoy it. What happens if a person says, to me, eating worms is anathema. I almost throw up every time I put it in my mouth. But the doctor says that if I don't eat 10 worms a day, I'm going to die. So I have to eat worms, I don't have a choice. But if you ask me, do I enjoy eating worms? To me, it's anathema. So we say that then he doesn't enjoy it when he's eating it. And we make a blessing over the enjoyment we get when we eat something. So then he doesn't have to make a blessing on the food that he's eating.
So doesn't mean that we should bless the food because we enjoy it?
We make a blessing because we enjoy it. We have a rule that if a person is going to make a blessing over something that's prohibited, botzea berech, someone who steals and then eats it and makes a blessing over his doing something improper, such as eating something that's prohibited, niyetz Hashem, that's the equivalent of having cursed God. That's not a blessing. But that's only if it's prohibited at the time that he's eating it, in a situation where he needs it medically. Or it's Yom Kippur and medically he must eat, so then it's not prohibited. For everyone else it's prohibited to eat this food or to eat now. Not for him. And therefore for him, we don't say botzea berech niyetz Hashem, because he's not doing something wrong with eating. The only thing is that a blessing is made over the enjoyment that we're going to have in our mouth. If this person says, I don't enjoy it, I can barely contain myself from throwing up, I don't enjoy it at all when I eat it, so then he doesn't have to make a blessing. Even though you'll ask people, do you enjoy eating worms? And they'll say, sure, it's delicious. They'll say, yeah, but to me it isn't. There are things that we say no one enjoys. You take a cup of solid olive oil, you drink it, that's going to harm you, you're not going to enjoy that. Don't make a blessing on that. You take olive oil and you mix it with other things and then it's palatable, that's a different story. But if you take olive oil straight, so that's not, you're not going to enjoy it and it's going to harm you. You take a cup of olive oil and drink it, you don't make a blessing on it because you don't enjoy it. Not only don't you enjoy it, it harms you. But this is something which some people enjoy, and to this person it's anathema. This person will not make a blessing on it.
I'm curious about the intrinsic nature of something being treif and then something being if we say the intrinsic nature of why we have treif food and permitted food, that we know that there's certain aspects of the food that can be elevated. Then that food, that's why it's not kosher. Yeah, because the nature of the food is, as my understanding is probably this is very limited, but it's a klipa that can't be elevated. It's too much. It's prohibited, and it can't be elevated to a different level.
So I don't think so. I don't think we've quantified it that way. The Gemara says when the Jews entered the land of Israel, so for the first years that they were conquering the land, they were allowed to eat pig. So what are you going to say? They ate pig without a blessing? No. They made a blessing and they ate pig. So Jews entered and ate pig. When a person's at a time of war, he doesn't have to look for kosher food. He's busy fighting a war, his life's at risk. So the Gemara says, whatever meat he finds, he eats. Imagine a guy's in the middle of a battle. They capture a few houses, they enter the houses, they have barbecue on the steak. Soldiers' stomachs start churning, they're hungry. Oh, it's not kosher food, come on, we're in Palestinian homes, we're in Philistine homes. Halacha says, eat it, continue your war, you'll fight a better war. The concept of kosher and non-kosher in a regular scene is very clear. This is kosher, this isn't. But the second things get more complicated, then it's not so easily discernible. A butcher has a shipment, has a delivery, and after the delivery he discovers that one of the pieces of meat that were brought is problematic. He's already sold the meat. So out of 1,000 pieces of meat, one of them was not kosher. Now, what does he have to do? Does he have to go and tell each person, you know, maybe you've got non-kosher meat? So he has to ask his local Orthodox rabbi. But there could be situations where the rabbi is going to say, you don't have to say anything. Because sometimes we say, if things got mixed up, if one fell into 1,000 or into 1,000,000, so at some point we say it loses its halachic status. Now you'll tell me, wait a second.
160.
When I eat this steak and that steak, when I'm going to eat all these steaks, eventually I eat non-kosher. So sometimes we say in Allah, okay, take one out. But what are the odds that the one I took out is the one that wasn't kosher? One in 1,000, one in 1,000,000, I don't know. The odds aren't very good, and still there will be scenarios where I can eat the rest of the meat. And that means that when we deal with the question of kosher and non-kosher, on the dry surface, yeah, this is kosher, this isn't kosher. But the second things get more complicated than a question, do I buy meat with a hechsher or not? The second things start getting involved, then different things can get different halachic status. So it's difficult to delineate it the way you're saying.
I guess my question would have to be, in the first place, why do we make kosher and non-kosher? Because everything was, all meat was, we weren't supposed to eat at a certain point in time. And then once we got off the boat, so to speak, then food was permitted to us. So we got off the ark and said, okay, now you guys are food permitted. Basar is meat's prohibited. It's permitted. So you can, and essentially, so we can raise the level of that status of that chaya. We're supposed to raise the level up. We're supposed to elevate the level. But in my understanding, so it's obviously very limited. There's the treif animals can't be raised up.
I don't know. You're coming from a Kabbalistic perspective that I don't know anything about. At best, I can understand what you're saying based on the Mishnah and Kiddushin, that the Mishnah says that all things were created for the service of man. I was created to serve my Creator. And God created everything else in the world to serve me, who serves my Creator. And we've been discussing in our Drasha Saramban on Friday how we are to understand that. The Ramban took that to be literally the purpose of creation, arguing with the Ibn Ezra. If that's the way we understand it, so I think we can also remember that Chazal tell us one of the things that are chukim that we don't really understand is why this animal is kosher and this animal isn't. Chazal sometimes enlightened us and said the non-kosher birds have more cruel traits, this bird, that bird. Chazal also tell us that what we eat affects how we are. But to say that we really understand why some things are kosher and other things aren't, I think that's beyond us. We could note that the Rambam put together in Sefer Kedusha, when the Rambam discusses Kedusha, how we attain holiness, so there's who we're allowed to marry and what food we're allowed to eat. Kedusha, one of the things that makes us Kadosh is what we eat. So we see that it does affect us on that level. But beyond that, I don't know. Coming back to...
But if we're ever in a situation where we do have to eat chaza, and we're on a desert island, and we're starving to death, then we definitely make a bracha over.
Right.
As I understand them, we say bracha not only for enjoyment, but for support, for to support our health.
Too. I don't know what you mean.
No, if I eat even without enjoy, but it's good for my health, I bless. I thank you for supporting me.
So that depends on what foods. It depends on what foods. That brings us to the next halacha that I thought we should discuss here. Food and drink that a person eats only for the sake of medication. Meaning, let's say a person, he doesn't... eats garlic. Okay? No one likes garlic. So the rule, anything we're going to eat for the sake of medication, the rule is, im tamam tov, if they have a good taste, meaning I'm not interested in it. I wouldn't ordinarily eat it. But it has a good taste. Bottom line, I do enjoy it. So if I enjoy them when I eat them, I make a blessing on them. Yeah, you with me? So that's the halacha you're referring to now. Right? Okay. What blessing you make is a discussion. When it comes to syrups, medical syrups, so there, as far as I know, we don't make a blessing because, let's say you're taking any kind of medication that they put in syrup, they're putting artificial flavor. It's not that it really has a good taste. That they added some artificial flavor to give it a good taste. But it's not really something that tastes good. So that's why, to the best of my knowledge, we don't make a blessing on
it. Physicians gave me this medicament with hip syrup. Very,
I didn't understand.
Very tasteful.
Give me 1 second. There's one more point. This is an offshoot of what we're discussing, but it's a relevant offshoot. Let's say a person has to take a pill in order to eat. Just before he eats, he's supposed to take a pill. Yes. So he makes a motzi, and then he remembers, oh, forgot my pill. Pill is... So then, Rav Shlomo Zalman held that you do have to repeat the blessing. Because swallowing a pill is a form of eating, and it's eating something which does not require a blessing. So one has paused between eating, between the blessing and the food that he's supposed to make a bracha, for eating, for swallowing the pill. And it looks like the blessing goes on the pill, because you are consuming it, you are eating it. So that's why he held you are supposed to repeat the bracha. So if one is going to take pills, he should take them before the blessing, before or after he's eaten something, but not between the blessing and the eating of the food. Yeah? Clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The same holds with washing down a pill with water.
So if you're going to wash down a pill with water, if you're thirsty, make a shahakal on the water. If you're just taking the water to wash down the pill, you don't make a blessing on the water. If you're drinking juice, anything that has flavor with the pill, so then we say even if you aren't thirsty, you're enjoying the flavor of what you're drinking, you have to make a blessing if you're going to down the pill with it.
But if you want to make a blessing on the water, you can bless the water, make a blessing on the water, drink the water first, take the pill, and then drink the water and then wash it.
For sure, yeah. You could do that, but that only works if you're really drinking water because you're thirsty. Water, being that it doesn't have flavor, only gets a blessing when one is drinking it for thirst.
I have a question about the kosher and non-kosher.